So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to completely blow your mind on this week's show.
Then what are we going to do the rest of the show?
Well, no, I mean, it's going to get really deep. It's going to get pretty heavy. And I'm pretty sure by the end of this show, we're all going to have a better understanding of what the meaning of life is and why we're here and what happens when we shrug this mortal coil and how it'll affect your weekend.
So you have the poll results.
Also, we have the poll results. Last week,
we'll save that.
Okay, well, look, I've been completely obsessed with this film called A Ghost Story. You heard me talking about it all last week.
Each day of the week, you call me over the weekend.
Yeah, and
so texted me.
It's a film that came out this last summer, but it just became available to rent, so I watched it last week.
Because you don't go out.
Not really. And without giving too much about the film away, I'll just say it's about this couple that lives in a house out in the country that may be haunted. But really, it's about the vast enormity of time, of the passing of time, which is something I really think about a lot. It raises a lot of questions about the afterlife and reincarnation and parallel universes, time travel. I mean, it's all in there. It gets pretty cosmic. But what's remarkable about the film is the way it's told. There are very, very long passages with no dialogue at all and hardly any action, which means that it relies on the music a lot to help tell the story. There's a lot of incredible music in it. One of the characters in the movie is a musician, and there's this scene in the movie where he's written this song for his wife or girlfriend. That's never clear who she is. But the scene is just her listening to the song on headphones. It's just that's the whole shot, 3.5, 4 minute long, just listening to the song start to finish. And I got to play that song on today's show. So we're going to hear that song. It's called I Get Overwhelmed from the film A Ghost Story.
Can't convince myself to turn it off. Let
what an incredible ending to this song. There's so much going on. It is so beautiful, the way it just soars at the end there. And Daniel Hart's name, he said that the idea for the song came to him after he had spent an inordinate amount of time online, just being an idiot, surfing the web for hours and hours and hours, and how lonely and completely overwhelmed it made him feel. When I heard this song and all the other music, the entire score to the film, A Ghost Story, I just thought, I've got to talk to the guy who did this. Daniel Hart is his name. So later this week, we'll have a conversation with him. We'll do it as a Plus One podcast, and he'll tell us exactly how he made not just this song, but how he worked on the entire score, which is just incredible. He's in a band, by the way. He has a band called Dark Rooms. And Dark Rooms, his band, did this song, I Get Overwhelmed, before the movie even existed. Wow. So everything built from that. By the way, a couple other music-related moments in this movie, A Ghost Story. Bonnie Prince Billy is in it.
Huh.
They gave him like this long period of exposition where he just lays out.
He's being creepy?
No. It's actually amazing. I mean, he's at a party and it's just him telling this group of people around the table basically what the whole meaning of life is. And it goes on for like 10 minutes.
He's got a great voice too.
Yeah. And also, Kesha. Kesha is in this movie.
As what?
She plays a ghost under a sheet. You never even see her. The only reason I knew it was her is because she was in the credits as other ghost. Anyway, that was Dark Rooms, otherwise known as Daniel Hart, I Get Overwhelmed, from A Ghost Story, and more from him later this week.
Well, you said that was going to blow my mind, and it really was great, but I'm going to blow your mind in addition to that, because what was the name of the band?
Dark Rooms.
Dark Rooms. And you said that he wrote this song after like being online for a really long time.
Yeah, it's just brain rot.
So I have a song, first song in 4 years from MGMT.
Oh, wow.
The name of the song is called Little Dark Age.
Okay.
Right? And the whole song seems to revolve around the craziness in being online and being on the internet for a long time, and all of us as a culture being online for a really long time.
Mind blown.
So I'm going to play this song called Little Dark Age. I'm going to read this thing to you, and it's a little long, so stick with us, folks.
We should say we honestly don't know what each other's going to play before we come in here. That is
not a
coincidence.
So Little Dark Age, this is a quote from MGMT, who we just put the video up online today. This video features people in gothic attire and figures of death and so forth, Andrew and Ben from MGMT. Put this together. So I'm going to read you what they sent to me in a description just about the song.
Okay.
Right? It says, Little Dark Age comes out of what has been an anxious last few years, maybe a result of the shared sense of this world coming apart. Does this have something to do with the way our world has been mediated? Much of what we now consider the world we experience online. And it's not hard to see this landscape as Boschian, a paradoxical web of strange impersonal relations. We take pleasure in punishing each other and ourselves. We are half-beast cybernetic avatars chewing through our tongues, reactionary, more self-congratulatory. It goes on, says, we're exhilarated and mesmerized by disaster and mass awfulness. It's hard not to read this moment as our subconscious desire to destroy nature, because maybe if the planet is dead and everyone else is dead, then we'll have prevented death and secured our divinity.
Oh, good God.
Wow. So can I play a song now?
Okay.
I'm going to play what is the title track to the first MGMT record in 4 years. It comes out in 2018, but the song is out now. It's called Little Dark Age.
Lying on its side. The
Little Dark Age is a song. It's the title track, New MGMT. Got that going
80s.
Backward in time.
Yeah,
yes.
It was like serious Jan Hammer stuff going on, like Miami Vice theme or
keyboard,
something.
Yeah. Or keytar.
Yeah. Oh, but I like that.
Yeah, me too. Watch the video, which just went up online as well. It's a first record in 4 years, but when you think about it, they started in 2002. They've put out four records in there, if you map that out, roughly 15 years. So it's kind of in keeping. I mean, every three years, they put out a record. That album will come out in 2018, so I look forward to that, see what they're up to. The record's produced by Patrick Wimberly. He produced Chairlift, which you can hear a little similarity there, and also Dave Fridman, who's worked a lot with them, Flaming Lips and Spoon, Tame Impala. Yeah.
All favorites.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that one of the themes in the film, A Ghost Story, is reincarnation, or at least it's one of the questions that's raised. And I now have a song called Reincarnation. It's by a woman named Susanna Sinferk. She is a singer from Norway. She's kind of a big deal back home. Her last four albums, all went to number one on the charts in Norway. But she's just now sort of starting to find her audience here. She's going to go on tour in the U.S. starting in November. It's her first time ever touring the States. But her last record back in 2015 was called 10 Love Songs. And she said after she finished it, she had a complete breakdown. She just felt, I'm going to use the word again, overwhelmed. She just felt exhausted and completely overwhelmed by life, and she knew she needed to hit the reset button somehow. So she just started to travel. She went all over the world. She went to the States. She went to Brazil. She went to North Korea. She went to Guatemala, and it was a way for her to force her brain to reconfigure itself in the face of all this new information and all these new experiences that it was taking in. And the result of it, of these travels and of her hitting the reset button on her brain, was this record she has now called Music for People in Trouble. Music for People in Trouble. Mm-hmm. And the song I want to play from Susanna Sinferk is called Reincarnation.
Do you believe in reincarnation? 'Cause I thought I saw yourself flashing and dancing on the horizon, shades of jade and emerald. Oh, I'm a bad girl, 'cause I turn the bad world into a crystal pearl. And we were loveless, oh, something I'd never felt before. I might be crazy, baby, lately I don't believe the news.
Love the ending to that one too. Another song that has a wonderful build to it. Susanna Sinfair is the singer. This is the first song she wrote for her new record, Music for People in Trouble. And I want to note that this is not a straight up sort of folk flavored acoustic record. In fact, I want to just play here. Here's a little bit of the title track for Music for People in Trouble.
This sounds like a Morton Subotnick record from
yeah,
the
60s. Yeah, if I just played this.
Morton Subotnick, electronic music pioneer. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel like we have to grab it and do something with it.
So there's a real surreal range to the music on this record.
Yeah, this makes me think of something that I've been thinking about a lot, and you said at the top of the show with the actress in the movie putting the headphones on and listening, and
right.
I've been thinking for a while about the best songs to listen to on headphones, so maybe there's something there.
We might need to do something with that. There, I definitely have some that come to mind.
Yeah. But now that you've played that and I've heard the track that you played in full, I definitely want to dig deep.
Susanna Sinfair gets actually spelled S-U-S-A-N-N-E, so it looks kind of like Suzanne, but it's pronounced Susanna. And Sinfair gets S-U-N-D-F, and then basically an O with a slash through it, R. So it looks like Sun DeFore, but it's Sinfair.
Wow.
Very curious record out now, Music for People in Trouble. Should we take a short break, and maybe when we come back, we'll take a look at those poll results we mentioned at the
boy,
top of the show.
Stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think is a song that everybody voted that we should definitely retire?
The most retirable song on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to think about it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wells Fargo, funders of a grant to Coalfield Development Corporation, where Adam Warren trains Appalachians for jobs in solar installation.
We're trying to keep people here so that they don't have to leave. They can live and work in the communities they grew up in doing something else.
Wells Fargo is building better every day. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/better.
To refresh everyone's memory, last week we did a show about songs that we should retire. Songs we love, but we've heard them enough. They need to be put away. We did a poll asking people what we should do with a handful of songs, you know, like Stairway to Heaven or Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever. And the results have come in. One of the most frequent comments I saw was, maybe we should retire You Idiots and keep these beloved songs. And I thought, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Later, guys.
Yeah.
So we put a list of 10 songs that people voted on, specifically Stairway to Heaven, Bohemian Rhapsody, Hotel California, Freebird, Hallelujah, American Pie, Imagine, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, / What a Wonderful World, yeah. Happy by Pharrell, and Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin. The song in that list that you all voted on that was totally, leave it alone, untouchable in that list, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I was going to guess Stairway to Heaven.
And second was Imagine, with a very close third, almost tied with Stairway to Heaven. So
yeah.
That's, but the songs, this is my favorite, of course, which one, I never want to hear it again.
Right.
Voted in that list of 10. The one that came out to retire the most, without question, was, what do you guess?
Hotel California.
I wish. But it was Happy by Pharrell.
Oh, really? Yeah. No kidding. I would not have guessed that.
I thought about this and I thought, it's a song that much of our audience probably has grown up on, and they have heard it enough, you know what I mean? As opposed to hearing their moms and dads play it and it being a part of another generation. It's more part of the generation that it
I hear what you're really saying there, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Age. But we gave people a chance to write in, because we just chose 10 songs for the show. And Sal here, our intern, has sifted through that stuff, right, Sal? So you dug into that poll. So what do you want to find?
Yeah, so I mean, what I learned from going through the numbers is we're much more united in songs that we're sick of than songs that we want to keep and protect. I will say that much. But there was a clear winner in one song that we absolutely must retire, and that is...
Oh, boy, I like our audience.
Yeah, this is...
This is a little painful, but let's do this. Robin, I know you like this.
It's not painful at all.
Just a small town girl.
Oh,
living in a lonely world.
A lot of people say I sound like him.
Do that again. Here it comes. Keep going.
No. Well, I get it. I get it. It's a song. It's Journey. Don't Stop Believing. It's a song that's just used everywhere and everything. So I could get people being tired of it.
But that voice. No, but these were.
You know, a lot of people think that he happens to have a pretty amazing voice.
The premise of this, for those who missed the show, go back and listen to it. But the premise is, what we consider great songs that we should retire, not just like...
Yeah, not we just don't like it, but it's like... Oh, wait for it.
A singer in a smoky room.
Well, I am in my beater. I'm 18 years old, and I'm got my freak flag flying in the back.
Boy, oh boy.
That's the mullet, by the
way. I can't unsee that.
All right. Well, let's talk about something good.
Wait a minute.
I've certainly stopped believing. So also, the second most mentioned is Sweet Caroline, Off the Island.
Thank goodness.
Oh. Or is it more like we send it to the island and we all stay here?
I dig that.
All right, keep going.
Piano Man.
Yes.
Gone. Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Yes.
And we're really...
You're a monster.
I know.
Bob Boylan, history's greatest monster.
I'm so happy.
I will say we're really divided on Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Almost equal numbers voted for retiring and keeping it.
I would not touch that. What about you, Robin?
No, I wouldn't touch that. You know, even the band, when they play
it over
live.
The edge. Yeah. Okay, no.
they still play it live.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the Untouchables go, there was a clear winner, and that has to be...
Good. Springsteen's Born to Run.
Yeah.
So more people wrote in saying we need to leave this song alone.
Sacred.
It must remain a sacred part of our canon. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. I want to hear some.
At night we ride the mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway 9 from wheel
I hear he does a pretty good live show.
You've seen him a number of times.
Yeah. I have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen
it's
the
incredible.
3 hour. Yeah, they are yeah,
three and a half, 4 hours.
Yeah,
I got some other untouchables for us.
Okay,
real quick.
So we have Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Okay, good.
Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Tiny Dancer by Elton John was a favorite.
I'm surprised by that, but keep going.
Under Pressure by Queen and Bowie. And I was actually really interested to see a couple newer songs in the mix. As far as the new pop canon is concerned, Mr. Brightside by The Killers and Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Untouchable.
We're untouchable.
Wow, very cool. Well, listen, what we should do is we should make a playlist. Should we make two playlists?
We'll do two.
We'll do the most retirables. and the untouchables.
Right.
All right, we'll do that and put that on a blog post and with some results alongside of it. And go back if you haven't heard this show last week, because it's a fun romp. So speaking about debates, dilemmas, and so forth, something happened to me recently that I had just been torn about, which is what happens when an artist you really love is joined by an artist that you actually don't really love or never really got into. Mm-hmm. And that happened with me with Courtney Barnett. And she teamed up with Kurt Vile and they did this new record together. And I put it on and I was kind of torn.
Yeah, you love Courtney Barnett.
I love Courtney Barnett. And I've never become a fan of Kurt Vile. And here was this thing and I put it on and I just couldn't get into it.
The collaboration record.
But I wanted to because I think about Lou Reed and Metallica. I think of like other collaborations that like, oh my God, I don't like Metallica. I love Lou Reed, right? And their struggles. And you figure, well, one of your favorite artists is in love with this other artist that you don't like.
Coverdale and Page.
Look that one up.
Sorry.
It really should be a doorway to let you in and learn about another artist. That's how I look at it. Let it be the doorway into an artist who you don't have never gotten into before. So I listened, and then one day I'm driving in the car, and this song of theirs, Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile, came on, and I want to play it because it was humor that they have on this record, this collaboration. It's just a fun, playful record. And that my problem was I was taking it all way too seriously. And then this song, Blue Cheese, came on. And I'm going to play Blue Cheese by Kurt Vile and Courtney Barnett.
Chinese rock and roll. Cheese up, you will, you know. And I'm busting out of my seam, if you know what I mean. Because I'm getting old. I didn't mean to cough on her. Forgot to have the fabric softener. I met a girl named Tina. That girl supplies the reef arena. So kiss me with your we
I thought that was you at the end. I thought, Bob, your phone.
The line about says, I didn't mean to coffin her, forgot to add the fabric softener. The absurdity and stupidness and silliness of that line actually it made me laugh out loud and made me kind of begin to love the playfulness these two and fun these two were having, Kurt Vile and Courtney Barnett were having on this song. So
well, I'll spend more time with it.
Yep,
I guess that's the whole idea.
Yeah, yeah. The album by Kurt and Courtney just came out. So give it a listen and see what you think. You're going to take us out, aren't you?
I am. And one last song that ties into all the themes I was talking about
more
at
death?
The beginning. No, it's I mean death is part of it, I guess, but more of the mystery of it and what happens afterwards. A lot happens actually after you die. You know, you're just not around for any of it. But anyway, it's a band. I want to go out on a band called Howard. It's a group that was new to me a couple years ago. I first played them on the show as a new discovery then when they had their debut full-length out called Religion. And they are now back with a follow-up called Together Alone. And just the title of the record alone ties in with some of these themes of feeling isolated, even though we're more, more digitally linked to people. We're not making as deep of connections with each other, even though we know everything about everybody and our closest friends because we read it all online, but we're not really connecting on any deep level with them. And Howard Feibusch, who is the lead singer and songwriter of this guy, asked him about this song I want to play. It's called Mother's Wedding. It was inspired by a dream he had. Here's what he wrote. He said, right around the time my mother got remarried, I had a dream where I was in a store full of her clothing. And it was a thrift store where all the clothes had been worn by her in her lifetime. I remember tags on the floor and faded, ripped clothing. The beginning of the dream felt sad to me. And then at some point it switched where I was a spectator at her wedding. And I just remembered a rocking 70s wedding band playing. So I wanted this song called Mother's Wedding. I wanted the song to follow the different stages of the dream, so I switched instrumentation for each section, and every verse was recorded with different drums and guitars to match the dream's non-linear progression. And as the song went on, I wanted it to sound more and more triumphant, like a wedding band. For me, the song is coming to terms with the fact that my mom had moved on to a new stage in her life. And the song is called Mother's Wedding from Howard's new record, Together Alone. No date on the release of the record Together Alone, but this song, Mother's Wedding, is out now.
Cool. I look forward to hearing this.
Yeah, and the whole record, too. All right, Bob, was your mind blown? Did I achieve, at least in part,
Yeah, yeah. You almost make me want to see a movie.
It's so good. I think you would, even you would like this movie because, you know, there's no explosions or over, you know, the music doesn't blast at you all the time. But it is an extraordinary soundtrack.
Sweet. And the interview later this week. I look forward to
hearing
that.
Yeah, from Daniel Hart.
Cool. Thanks, Mr. Hilton.
Thanks, Bob.
And thanks, Sal.
Anytime, guys.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Tags are falling now.